אני, כשבגרתי כבר נסעתי בשבת, ואני זוכר פעם כשבאתי אליו הביתה במוצאי שבת, הקפדתי לבוא.
As I got older, I started driving on Shabbat, and I remembered that this one time, I came over to my father's house on מוצאי שבת, on Saturday night. I made sure, of course, to arrive after Shabbat was already over, but apparently I came too early, almost immediately after the end of Shabbat. So he said to me, Avinoam, I'm really happy you came to visit me. I really am. But if you had come just a little bit later, I would have been even happier. That's the man he was.
That's Avinoam Kobashi, the son of Saadia Kobashi, a rabbi, a licensed poultry slaughterer, an educator, and the lone representative among the signatories of the Declaration of Independence of Yemenite Jewry. Hey, I'm Mishi Harman, and this is Israel Story. Israel Story is brought to you by the Jerusalem Foundation and the Times of Israel. So Israel is turning 75, and we feel this is a moment for us to step back and take stock, to ask where we came from, where we are, and where, for God's sake, we're going. And in order to answer those questions, we decided to go back to the basics. Our series, Signed, Sealed, Delivered, looks at our founding moral compass, Megillat HaAtzmaut, or the Declaration of Independence. 37 people signed Megillat HaAtzmaut. And over the course of the past several months, our team has diligently tracked down the closest living relative of each one of these signatories and interviewed them. We talked about their ancestors and families, about the promise of the Declaration, the places in which we delivered on that promise, the places in which we exceeded our wildest dreams, and also about the places where we fell short. And it is through these descendants of the men and women who, with a stroke of a pen, gave birth to this country of ours, that we wish to learn something about ourselves. Today we'll meet Saadia Kobashi and his son, Avinoam Kobashi. He'll present one of the many political perspectives we'll be featuring throughout the series. We'll be right back.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
This episode of Israel Story is sponsored by Michael and Hedy Pufalis Milgram. In memory of Hedy's parents, Mark and Pearl, who were both Holocaust survivors. Mark Pufalis from Krakow and Pearl Herskovic Pufalis from Czechoslovakia were beacons of hope and resilience for their daughters, Hedy and Marlene, and for their 6 grandchildren. They built a home steeped in Jewish values, traditions, and customs, spent their time in service of others in their synagogue and community, and helped thousands of people mark the sweet and special moments of life through Pearl's amazing pastries and cakes.
Okay, we're back. Here's our producer Yael Ben-Chorin with Avinoam Kobashi, Saadia Kobashi's son.
During Passover of 1909, the heads of the families of the small community of Khubesh, Yemen, most of whom were silver and coppersmiths, met up in the home of their village leader, Yehye Kobashi, Saadia's father, to discuss the idea of moving to the land of Israel. Though they lived in peace with their Muslim neighbors and were financially comfortable, they were determined to fulfill their dream and decided to begin the journey to Zion the day after Shavuot. And indeed, 7 weeks after that meeting, they set out and, led by a Muslim guide, made their way to the coast of the Red Sea by foot, donkey, and camel. In Miri, they boarded a sailboat. At Metsawa, they changed to a steamboat to Port Said, and finally arrived in Jaffa in midsummer. In a memoir that he wrote for the occasion of his 80th birthday, Kobashi recalled a terrible storm they had encountered en route. "Most of the people on the ship were sick," he wrote, "and one of them, my sister Badra's firstborn son, may his memory be a blessing, died and was cast into the sea." Once in the land of Israel, the group walked to Jerusalem, and 7-year-old Saadia began attending religious schools. He ultimately became a teacher, a principal, one of the leaders of the Yemenite community in Israel, and its representative to Moetzet Ha'am, the Provisional State Council. Stuck in besieged Jerusalem, Kobashi was unable to attend the declaration ceremony itself and added his signature to the scroll during the first ceasefire, a month later. He and his wife Malka had 3 children, and his son, Avinoam, who is himself 91, recalls that his father wore a jacket, tie, and hat every single day of his life. Saadia Kobashi was a modest man who preferred education to politics and religion to public affairs. He died in relative obscurity in 1990, at the age of 87. Here he is, in a 1961 interview for the State Archives, sharing a message for future generations.
I shall say my part. It is written, "And Joshua defeated Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword." According to this verse, the state stands primarily on its material might, on its military force. But on the other hand, in the previous verse it is written, "And so it was that when Moses held up his hand, Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed." In other words, according to this, the main force upon which the country rests is spiritual. And so we learn that the material might is the main thing and the spiritual strength is the main thing. The one cannot exist without the other. And above those two forces is the belief in God and the Torah of Israel and the land of Israel.
I'm Avinoam, the son of Saadia Kobashi. He was born in Yemen in 1902 in a village called Chubesh, and that's where the name Chubashi comes from. I mean, our original name is Levi. He was Saadia Levi. But everyone's a Levi. So which Levi? Saadia Levi Chubashi from Chubesh. Later on, when he went to school here in Eretz Israel, they didn't know how to say Chubeshi, so instead of Chaf, they said Kaf, and it became Kobashi.
Kobashi?
That's how our name was born. In any event, they lived there, and in 1909 they made Aliyah to the land of Israel. He was 7 years old. Coming here was their utmost desire, their greatest wish. So when they arrived, they all dropped to the ground and kissed the earth. Literally kissed the earth. And then they continued on to Jerusalem by foot. Whoever had enough money rented a donkey and put their baggage on the donkey's back. And then everyone just walked beside the donkey. You know, it's funny. Once, many years later, my car was in the shop, so I picked up my father in my wife's car, which was much smaller than mine, and I asked him, "Dad, are you comfortable in this car?" So he looked at me and said, "Yes, of course I am."
הוא יותר טוב מהחמור שלא היה לי כשבאנו מתימן.
It's way more comfortable than the donkey I didn't have when I came from Yemen.
הוא חי בארץ, הוא חי בעוני גדול מאוד.
Here in Eretz Israel, he lived in great poverty. They had a difficult life, very difficult.
ועוני אז פירושו...
And poverty then? It meant you were hungry.
להיות רעב, לא כמו היום, זה הגדרה הסטטיסטית.
Not like today, where poverty is some sort of statistical definition. You know, the poverty line and everything. Today, there's a line. But back then...
אז היה... אני זה רעב.
Poor meant hungry.
פשוט.
Simple. He told me he used to go to the market to carry baskets for older people so they would take pity on him and give him a slice of bread or a piece of fruit or something like that. But my father never spoke about ethnic discrimination. He just didn't feel it. On the contrary, he was very grateful and felt that he received many opportunities. In 1925, he graduated from the teacher's seminary in Jerusalem. 3 years later, in 1928, he got married and was sent as a Hebrew teacher to the children of the Jews of Aleppo. Syrians who had immigrated to America. I was born in the United States on January 1st,
1932.
We came back to pre-state Israel when I was 3 and we've been here ever since. By the time we returned, my father was considered to be a learned man and he loved the Torah and studied the Torah. And since the Yemenites were all deeply religious people, they chose him to be head of the Yemenite community. On November 29th, 1947, the UN announced the partition plan, and many Arabs were outraged and began rioting.
Arabs advancing on the center of Jerusalem at the beginning of a 3-day strike and an orgy of wrecking, looting, and bloodshed. Isolated police...
So what did my father do? He went out to help build the fortifications.
הלך לעבוד בביצורים.
In 1948, we didn't have a radio. There were only a few families in the neighborhood who had radios. So we went over to the neighbors to hear the declaration of the state. Now, we lived in Jerusalem at the time, and Jerusalem was under siege. So even though my father was invited to the declaration, he couldn't make it to Tel Aviv. There was just no way, nothing to be done. So a few days or weeks later, I don't know, I can't remember, they sent him a piper, an airplane, to take him to Tel Aviv to sign the Declaration of Independence. And he went, and then immediately returned to Jerusalem by plane. He said, I signed with trembling hands and with gratitude to the Creator of the world who gave me the privilege. He wasn't a funny guy, my father. He was a very quiet and serious man. Who was completely and utterly devoted to his role as an educator. See, shortly after the state was founded, our family moved to Tel Aviv. And since he was already an experienced teacher, he got a position with the Ministry of Education as a supervisor in the religious Zionist school system. And then, once the large-scale Aliyah from Yemen, Operation Magic Carpet, began, he left this relatively senior position as a supervisor in the ministry and went to set up a school and teach in Rosh Ha'ayin, which was a ma'abara, a temporary transit camp the government had set up for new immigrants from Yemen. It was all out of love, really, because career-wise it made no sense. I mean, he made much less money as a principal than he had as a supervisor. And what's more, he had to take 3 buses to get to work every morning. You know, it wasn't like today, where you just get into your car and you're there in 10 minutes.
לא כמו שהיום נכנסים לאוטו ונוהגים 10 דקות מגיעים.
He said it would take him 2 hours to get to the school. And Rosh Ha'ayin itself.
בבוץ, בראש העין זה היה אוהלים ואבק וגשם.
I mean, at the time it was mainly mud and dust and everyone lived in tents.
הוא עשה את זה כל יום בצורה מסודרת.
But every day, there he was. Every single day, he would always be the first to arrive at the school. That's the kind of man he was. And folks in Rosh Ha'ayin remembered that, and many years later even named a street after him there. At home, our entire family would gather every Friday night for a Shabbat meal, and my father would make kiddush in the Yemenite style. And everything was traditional. Just like it had been in Yemen.
לפי מה שהיהדות יודעת מה אני יודעת לעשות.
And that was also the education he gave us. Look, even today I can still chant the Torah with all the traditional Yemenite melodies without any preparation or anything.
זינו השומיים ודברו ותשמע האור עשים רפי יערוף כמטר נשאי יזר קטל ימרתי. פעם...
I remember that one time I told him about a friend of mine who wasn't religious. And he said, what do you mean he's not religious? If he lives in the state of Israel, he's not only religious, but pious. Because according to the Talmud, the act of living in the land of Israel outweighs all the other mitzvot. Or commandments of the Torah. And why is that? Because those who live in the land of Israel build it, defend it, fight for it, and sometimes even sacrifice their lives for it. And that's Kiddush Hashem, the sanctification of God's name. And all the donors in America who give millions to Israel, they're paying damim, which means money.
דמים זה כסף. מי שגר בארץ ישראל משלם בדם.
And those who live here in the land of Israel pay with dam, blood. So I ask you,
אז מי יותר דתי?
Who is more religious? At the same time, and despite his religiosity and approach to the land, my father was a moderate man. For example, he was in favor of dividing the land of Israel. He used to say that it was pikuach nefesh, a matter of saving lives, that if there will be peace with our neighbors, fewer people will be killed. Some might disagree, of course, but he thought that the land of Israel was holy, but that human life was holier. So he used to say that if it was up to him, he wouldn't object even to dividing Jerusalem. You can't always just say, well, God gave us the land, God gave us the land. Yes, that's true. But the reality on the ground is different. He taught us to hope that Israel would be a religious state, a traditional state. That yes. But instead, today, there's extremism. And that makes me sad, and would have made him sad. Because the religious extremism today, and I'm saying this gently, has made Judaism an unbearable religion. In the declaration, Ben-Gurion promised freedom of religion and conscience for all. But we don't have that today. We live in a society of religious coercion. Take the Western Wall. The Kotel, for example. We thought that the declaration talked about no discrimination based on sex. But at the Kotel, women can't pray in whatever way they want, and there are sections where they can't even go. What is this? Is that what we call freedom of religion? Equality between the sexes? As far as I'm concerned, the Kotel shouldn't even have a rabbi. It itself is a holy place, so it doesn't need a rabbi. And everyone, men and women, should be able to do whatever they want. Pray, read the Torah, whatever. Why not? And it's not just the matter of religion and equality of men and women. I think we've lost our way as a welfare state too. Our governments, both this one and previous ones, don't pay enough attention to poverty. All the politicians keep on making statements about how they're fighting poverty and closing socio-economic gaps. But the reality is that more and more people live in poverty, and the welfare institutions mainly serve the welfare of all kinds of machers who get paid for doing nothing. That makes me very sad. But at the same time, if my father was around today, he would be very proud of Israel's military might, and he would say that if we had this kind of an army during World War II, there wouldn't have been a Holocaust. Every year on Yom HaAtzmaut, Independence Day, I'm moved and excited as if it was the day the state was declared. That's how I feel. And I conjure up the image of my dad in my mind's eye, and I say to myself that I am privileged, lucky, to be the son of Saadia Kobashi, signatory of the Declaration of Independence.
Mitch Ginsberg and Lev Cohen are the senior producers of Signed, Sealed, Delivered. Our staff also includes Yochai Meital, Zev Levi, Adina Karpuch, Jamal Rishek, Hadas Kidron, Shoshana Sara, Shira Shans Khalil, Ross Berdo, Yael Ben Chorin, and Rotem Tzin. Sela Weisblum is our sound engineer. Zev Levi scored and sound designed the episode, with music from Blue Dot Sessions. Our music consultants are Tomer Kariv and DJ Yoni Turner. And our dubbers are Leon Feldman and Yoav Yefet. The episode was recorded in our very own Nomi Studios. You can catch up on all our regular Israel Story episodes, as well as the other Signed, Sealed, Delivered minisodes, on our site, israelstory.org, or by searching for Israel Story wherever you get your podcasts. You can and should also check out our home at timesofisrael.com/podcasts. And, of course, follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all under Israel Story. If you're interested in sponsoring episodes of Israel Story, email us at sponsor@israelstory.org. This series is dedicated to the memory of my beloved father, David Harmon, who was a true believer in the values of the Declaration of Independence, in Zionism, in democracy, and most of all, inequality. I'm Mishi Harman, and we'll be back next time with another installment of Signed, Sealed, Delivered, and a completely different perspective on Israel's Declaration of Independence. Till then, shalom shalom, and yalla bye.
יום יום אותה שעה, רואה אותה ממול יושבים סביב תשעה, לומדים בסלסול המורי הזקן, השעות על תפו במבט בוחן, עומד על משמרתו באותו מקום שבו הם יושבים
יום יום אותה שעה שונים וחוזרים הכל כבר מוכן ללכת למורי ועוד על לחיי הספר בידי מחיש בעמי ללכת למורי
of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.